morning and welcome into the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I'm National Recruiting Analyst Cooper Degna alongside 24/7 Sports Director of Scouting, Andrew Ivins. And Drew, as we make our way through potential impact freshmen in 2023, conference by conference, today is the day for the Pac-12. And I got to be honest, I was pretty excited about this one. You start doing a little bit more research. This is a conference that's going to be highly competitive, but I'm excited. And Drew, as we always do, we start by projected order of finish. And Drew, unless you got anything, I'm kind of ready to start rolling with this one.
I don't got much. I think we should point out we're going with the Pac-12 because USC does play week zero. And it's kind of crazy that we are, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, three days away from some live action. I'm fired up.
Is the first game Saturday or is the first game tomorrow?
Saturday.
Saturday. And then it's USC, San Jose State. Is that right?
Yeah. You got Notre Dame Navy.
Notre Dame Navy in Dublin.
FIU, Louisiana Tech. You know, that's going to be on at the Ivins household.
Hank Bachmeyer, right?
Correct.
Louisiana Tech. There we go. All right, Drew, let's start with USC. Projected order of finish here in the Pac-12. Number one. Man, you could go a lot of different directions. Top 10 recruiting class in the country. Drew, you got the T-box here.
In the spirit of the freaks list, I got to go with my number three freak from last year, Zachariah Branch. And Coop, I'm gonna be honest. I tried to cheat here, and I went on USC's website, and I looked in the game notes because oftentimes schools will have it too deep the week of the game, and USC's media department did not provide it too deep. So I thought I could get like a little nugget there. But you read up on everything that has happened through preseason camp with the Trojans, and it sounds like Zachariah Branch is going to be on the field in some type of way. So I'm taking the easy one here and going with the explosive wide receiver, our number one ranked wideout for the 2023 cycle out of Las Vegas, Bishop Gorman. I think he can make an impact in the return game. We saw that at the Under Armour All-American Bowl. But USC, I feel like, is going to put up a bunch of points. I think they're going to have big leads, and I think it'll be easy for Branch to work his way onto the field and then potentially into that starting lineup.
It's a loaded receiver room. I mean, that's the other thing you got to take into consideration, right? Dorian Singer, Mario Williams, Brendan Rice. There are no shortage of weapons there on the perimeter. Drew, how long have you been doing the freaks list?
I think this is year three.
Year three. Is this the first? I'm assuming Zachariah Branch was or Zion Branch was on the freaks list. Is that right?
Yeah, Zion was Branch. And for those not familiar with the Branch family, their grandfather Cliff in the 70s won the NCAA championship in the 100 meter dash. I want to say he was below 10 seconds. And then he went on to play in the NFL. So solid bloodlines there.
My question is that the first pair of brothers that you've had?
Yes, but we've had twins. We've had twins as well. But yes, brothers in different years would be correct. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Drew, reading up on the practice reports at USC, another name came up. Mekhi Lemon.
Oh, I didn't even. How about okay. That? I thought you were going a completely different direction here. So enlighten me.
I am going in a different direction. I'm not going with Mekhi Lemon, but Mekhi Lemon was a name that I want to throw out there because there's some buzz about him, and he is a complete gamer. The guy that I'm going with is Tackett Curtis. I think they need some help at linebacker. They went in the portal 2 years ago. They got Shane Lee. They got Mason Cobb out of Oklahoma State. They're going to be better there. But for where they are defensively, I think it's going to be very difficult to keep Tackett Curtis off the field. And if you don't know anything about him, top 247 linebacker from Manny, Louisiana, played 2A ball. And this was a guy who's a three-phase player, played almost like a safety hybrid backer role, and then would play close to the line of scrimmage. He was kind of like a joker.
I think we originally listed him, graded him out as a safety, correct?
I think so. If you go back to when he was like a sophomore, maybe.
Yeah.
And then just kind of grew into that linebacker spot. You talk about family genes in the state of Louisiana, rich football history there, the Curtis last name. He's going to be ready to play, man. Like, you turn on the tape, he's a football player. I think he was one of the guys that if we had to have this conversation maybe in December, this was probably a guy that still would have been on this list, right? Because we just knew that his ability kind of lends to being on the field early, and then you combine that with the need at USC. I like this one. I thought there were no shortage of options offensively, but based on need and a guy that I think early returns have been super positive, I went with Dackett Curtis.
Yeah, I read somewhere that he might start because of those injuries, right? Like, he's been repping with the first team. I think if you throw on the game Saturday night, Dackett Curtis could be out there in the first quarter. One other defender I thought was notable, and I don't know if you've seen this video, Cooper, Braylon Shelby, top 247 edge rusher out of Texas, another guy that was on my freaks list last year, 45-foot triple jumper at 235 pounds. He has to be heavier than that because they have, I don't know if it was a USC reporter or if it was the official account, they clipped him walking into practice, and oh my gosh, like, he is juiced up, rocked up in the upper half. It's like, dude, when we did this podcast, people that listen know, we talked about like growth potential and like what a college strength program can do for someone. Braylon Shelby needs to be one of the examples moving forward. Like, oh my, like, they eating properly, training properly, you know, sleeping properly, recovering properly. He looks like a Greek god. And I think he could be in the rotation as a situational pass rusher. So I wanted to give him some love.
That's a great point. He's one of those guys that, like, you know, he's a freak, and then you drop him in that environment, and then pretty quickly you see what he's capable of physically. So yeah, another name to know there for sure. Arger, Washington, projected to finish number 2 in the Pac-12 conference. I kind of, you know, this was a pretty interesting class. I went with Devin Bryant out of St. John Bosco, the linebacker. I still think, even with Edifon Ulufasio, Alfonso Tupatala, they got Carson Bruner. I think he's struggled to stay healthy at times. I think Devin Bryant's a guy that's going to give them some depth and give them some run. Greg Biggins, who covers the West Coast for us at 24/7 Sports, said Devin Bryant was the heart and soul of St. John Bosco's defense, which they thought that defense last year was one of the best that they had in school history. So it says a lot about him. I think the physical upside and potential in terms of long-term trajectory, maybe that's in question a little bit, but in terms of lending to him being on the field, UW's got to get better defensively. I like, you know, Devin Bryant. I thought it was kind of low-hanging fruit for me.
Well, I almost called you, Cooper, because, I mean, you used to run the show there in Washington. You look at the two deep. It's a lot of guys that you were involved in those recruitments. And we touched on this when we did the ACC one. Like, this is kind of, I don't know, like preseason homework for us. And you get a chance to see who's where, who's doing what. And my big takeaway coming out of like diving into Washington is, dear God, they are experienced. I think they've returned 14 of 22 starters. It was hard to kind of pick and choose a freshman that could potentially see the field here in 2023. I wanted to pick Austin Mack, the quarterback that I reclassified, but then it's like, okay, they have Michael Penix, and then the guy behind him, Dylan Morris, has already played. Like, Austin Mack, I mean, if he gets on the field, Washington's going to be in serious, serious trouble. So I went with Trayshon Lyons, wide receiver, finished number 29 in the wide receiver rankings for us. The odds of him playing more than 4 games, I don't think, are great. Remember, Washington has 2 really good receivers, Cooper, that you helped scout and recruit back in your day, both on the Biletnikoff watch list. But I think, from what I read, and I think Dog Man is the 24/7 Sports Washington affiliate, Trayshon has been getting some burn on the second team. So
that would be impressive. I mean, because you got McMillan, You got Odunze, and then you got Jalen Polk, who has been a revelation for them. Then on top of that, you got Giles Jackson as well, right? So they're four deep with guys that can do a lot of different things. If Treshawn Lyons is playing early, that's a good sign. That's the way I would take it. But that's a high-flying offense, right? I mean, that would be the offense that you would expect a freshman, even if you're in the four or five spot, to kind of break through.
Let me ask you this. Washington, high expectations, right? We just said it's a very veteran team. You get late in that season, you know, your goals are no longer obtainable. Do you start playing the youth knowing what you're losing?
By youth, I'm thinking the translation of that means Austin Mack.
No, I'm just saying, like, Treshawn Lyons, you know, these guys are, we're talking those two receivers, maybe day two, day one picks. And maybe I'm looking more towards like a potential bowl game, which have turned into exhibitions. Like, I don't know. I think Treshawn Lyons, if there is a route to the playing time, depending on how the season goes for Washington.
I agree. I think when it comes to the bowl game specifically, I think that process kind of works itself out. You know, if you got a Dunze or a McMillan who think they're going to be a day one or early day two draft pick, and even a Penix, right? They've built a strong culture there under Kalen DeBoer. So,
well, his comments were very interesting when you read like the practice reports. He's like very, I don't know, standoffish or like a football coach for sure. He doesn't let out much. Like they asked, like someone asked him about the receivers and he's like, they haven't done anything yet. And talking towards the freshman wide receivers. So he's not a sunshine pumper in any way.
He was one of my favorite interviews we had out of all the guests that we had, I think, over the spring. You know, just he was kind of refreshing. Like, I mean, you talk about a guy who's just kind of had this meteoric rise. And what is he, 90-11 as a head coach? He's just a ball coach, man. We had a couple ball coaches on, Willie Fritz being another one. Like, I don't get the impression when you talk to Kalen DeBoer that, like, he's trying to be anything that he's not. Totally yeah. Comfortable in his own skin. Why wouldn't you be when you've won that many games? All right, Devin Bryant and Treshawn Lyons for Washington. Drew, Utah. I love Utah. I love everything about Utah. I love the uptick in the recruiting department in terms of what they've been able to do there in terms of talent acquisition over the last couple of years. This one was relatively easy for me. I went Spencer Fano. Obviously, there's a lot of buzz. It sounds like it's going to be really difficult to kind of keep him out of the top five of that offensive line unit, which is an experienced unit coming back. But Drew, I think you and I and the rest of the team here, we saw him in San Antonio. The one thing that became very clear that maybe we saw as a negative going into that week was kind of the size and the growth potential. He's a guy to me that can play all five positions on the offensive line. And I think that's incredibly invaluable. And he's smart. He's technically refined, excuse me. And you talk about a guy that just plays with such good balance and body control. He's always in control from the feet up. You watch him and you're like, all right, this is a guy who just, he understands the game, understands leverage, understands positioning. I love this kid. I think, you know, this is a huge win for Utah, but I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. Not because of what we think about the player, but based on the feedback that we've heard already in fall camp, it was the easy one for me.
I'm glad you picked him because I didn't even write him down. I don't know if he's in that same like Peter Woods category. But Utah finished number 20 in the rankings. That was their highest ranked recruiting class ever after back-to-back Rose Bowl appearances. I think there was a ton of options here, and let's not forget, Utah opens up next Thursday. Florida's coming to town. All eyes are going to be on that game. I can't wait. So there were a few options. I went with Smith Snowden, cornerback, and I'll explain why. Clark Phillips off to the NFL. And it sounds like Smith Snowden is going to have a chance to play in the nickel. He finished as the number 21 cornerback for us. He's in a battle from what you read out on Ute Zone. This guy I mean, maybe we should have had him higher in the rankings. Utah 6A state champ in the 100-meter dash, went 10.59. He was the Utah Gatorade Player of the Year. 6 interceptions, 8 pass breakups. He also looked really good, according to our guys that were at the Polynesian Bowl. I think he had a pick 6 during practices. So Smith Snowden is one that I wrote down. And then Mikey Matthews, slot receiver. We moved him up to a very high 3-star grade after watching him at the Under Armour All-American Bowl practices. I thought he was one of the best route runners there, behind Jonte Cook, who's headed to Texas or is going to play at Texas. He had a really good week, and I think he's in the rotation for the slot receiver position there. So Utah, I mean, it seems like four freshmen are going to play for them. And that's just a little bit different than how it's been in the past there under Kyle Whittingham. But that's what happens when you get these blue chip difference makers, right? You get them into the program and boom, like these guys are ready to go.
I love what you talked about. Smith, Snowden, Clark Phillips was like the first name that came up immediately. And I can tell you this, when Clark Phillips was at La Habra and we were at Washington, he was such an easy guy to just overthink, right? Same thing in the NFL as well. I mean,
yeah, I was wondering, do you think day 4 pick or fourth round pick, day 3?
Well, it goes back to the ceilings and floors conversation. It's like when you get into day 3 and you know that, all right, maybe I'm dealing with a sub 5'9 nickel, but I mean, Clark Phillips, from the moment he stepped on campus in Salt Lake, was a guy. He was like that in high school, and he's got a proven track record, and I think left a little bit to be desired in terms of testing at the NFL Combine, but outside of that, he's got a lot of production to overcompensate. I'm glad, Drew, I mean, looking back on it, that we got Snowden inside the top 247.
And then they also got CJ Blocker, top 247 corner. I think he's made some noise in camp as well, but I went with Smith Snowden there.
But you think about it, what is that, 4 or 5 names? All those guys are legit.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, I was going to do a shameless plug. Go ahead.
Just saying, it's the type of player that Utah hasn't been getting in the past.
You're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast with Cooper Patagna and Andrew Ivins. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple included. And if you got a question, make sure to leave a review. That is the spot to do it, guys. We appreciate you listening as always. All right, Drew, Oregon Ducks. Man, I was excited about this recruiting class. Which way did you go here?
Young Concrete.
Me too.
For one primary reason, I think he could play on both sides of the ball. Are you under that impression as well?
I think so. I feel like since he's been in Eugene and his name has come up, you've kind of been the one that's been intrigued about, like, all right, he might situationally get some touches offensively. Well, and you know what? Like, it's not surprising. You go back and you watch him. I mean, he is supernatural at the tight end position. That is not something that is like, I mean, it's pretty second nature to him. The other side of it is they brought in Jordan Birch from South Carolina and needs some help off the edge. He's got some natural things to him physically, and then from a size standpoint and athleticism standpoint, you have to play those guys early, especially in the pack. They can make a difference. So yeah, the more you think about him and then what he offers, and yeah, is it going to take him some time to figure it out? Yes. But is him at 70-80% of what he's going to be still good enough to be on the field? 100%.
Thought it was notable, Dan Lanning, at some point the Oregon media assembled early on in training camp, asked him, you know, how can a freshman play? And he said, if you're good enough, you're old enough. I thought that was notable. But then you look back to Oregon's 2022 recruiting class. Only five of those guys burned their red shirt, meaning they appeared in more than four games. And only two of that five eclipsed the 100 snap mark. So Mateo Uiagalelei, how do you say it?
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
That's all right. Just call him Young Concrete.
Young Concrete. I'm dealing with some sinuses, so that's going to be a little it's going to be a little difficult. But Tosh, the DC, or is he the D-line coach?
Tosh Lupoy.
Is DC?
Defense coordinator.
He brought up exactly what you talked about with St. John Bosco, and he thinks that Young Concrete is so far along because of what he experienced, the coaching he got, the training there at Bosco. And it seems like they're using him more on the defensive side of the ball as a situational kind of pass rusher. Maybe, you know, he's a guy that gets in on third down, but they have a ton of depth issues at tight end. And that's why I think he could see some run there. And he did play tight end in that, in the spring game for them. Cooper, how about Jurion Dickey, five-star for us? Do you know what number he's wearing this season for Oregon?
Oh, yeah. Number 99. My jersey's in the mail.
Is that like an NIL? Is that like an NIL play or what?
I think he's just a different cat. Maybe. I mean, if it is, it's smart. Kudos to him. I love it. I mean, I can't wait to see him out there just rocking number 99 and just, you know.
Can you even be an eligible pass catcher, or do they have to announce him every play?
I think in college it doesn't matter. I think the NFL is the only one.
No, the guy's going to have to buzz in. 99 is an eligible receiver every single snap.
No, I don't think that's it.
Well, someone said he couldn't get the number 13, so he decided on 99. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it makes sense. It's logical. It's the next logical option there. No, I love Jurion Dickey. That's another guy. Any feedback on him? I couldn't find anything either.
Like, there was some stories highlighting him before camp started, and then I couldn't find his name anywhere after that. The one name I did want to also bring up, Cole Martin. Just had this conversation about Clark Phillips. Cole Martin, I guess, is pushing for that starting gig in the nickel. For those not familiar, I think he was Mr. Irrelevant for us in the top 247. Like, he finished number 247. His dad is on staff there, undersized corner, but he's aggressive, and not surprised to see that, you know, he's kind of making an impact early on and has a chance to avoid a redshirt.
He's a football player, you know, like. You go back and forth on the NFL upside and the Sunday potential, but he's going to be a hell of a player on Saturdays, right? I'm glad he made it in. I was getting ready to look up the ranking, and I was expecting to see him on the outside. If that's your number 247 player in the rankings, then you got a good group.
We should start a Mr. Irrelevant week.
Yeah, I like that.
For number 247.
Maybe we got to come up with our own name. Mr. 247. There you go.
Well, we need those guys to hit. They need to hit. So if he hits, he'll be number one at the start of this.
Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All right, Drew. Oregon State.
Oof. I struggled.
I'm planting my flag. I went with Aiden Childs, even despite the news of DJU getting the nod yesterday. Surprised it took that long, honestly. I'm going with Aiden Childs because I think he's going to play.
All right. And explain why.
Because I think he's a lot better athlete than I gave him credit for. Seeing him in San Antonio really opened my eyes to, like, this is a guy that I think Jonathan Smith can use situationally. Like, I just don't think it's like, hey, we're going to try to get this guy some run, spot reps, whatever it is. I mean, I think this is a guy that, if they're smart, they're going to try to get on the field early. And I think they can do that. He's a good athlete. The other thing is like, I think he can push DJ. I really do. best case scenario, that doesn't happen, but maybe the other best case scenario is that it does. I think they got a bubbling star here with this kid.
And he looked good. He looked good in the spring game, correct?
Correct. I like everything about this guy. I just want to, any opportunity I got the chance to talk about him, I'm going to do it.
Plant the flag, man. Aiden Childs Hive, Cooper Patagna.
No doubt.
Leading the charge. I'm on board. I'll be your co-conductor of that train. All right. Mine's off the board a little bit. Oregon State didn't have the best of recruiting classes. I'm going cornerback Jermaud McCoy. And I got to give Gabe Brooks, our guy in Texas, on the 24/7 Sports national recruiting team, a ton of credit here. McCoy, high three-star grade for us, finished as the 91st corner. Oregon State flipped him late from Tulane. This is a kid that won a pair of gold medals at the Texas 5A state track meet. He took first in the long jump, took first in the triple jump. Look at the profile. Two-way snaps, over 700 yards receiving, two interceptions on defense, returned a kickoff for a touchdown, averaged 18 yards a punt return. I mean, we are just checking box after box after box off. Jonathan Smith has highlighted him as a guy that's going to play. He's going to travel. And what's also notable about McCoy, you'll like this, Cooper, a late flip from Tulane. That's where Oregon got him from. We always talk about Willie Fritz and their evaluation process, and every year they get rated. Gabe Akis, who's at Illinois, was on Bruce Feldman's freaks list. He's going to be a name to know in the Big Ten, one-time Tulane commit. C.J. Donaldson, starting running back at West Virginia, one-time Tulane commit. And now you can drop Jermaud McCoy into that same bucket.
Northwestern, call him up. You know who my guy is for that job, man. I mean, I tell you what, it was somebody yesterday, Drew. I think it was, I was looking at your top performers article. It was the corner from Mill Creek, who I think is committed to Georgia Tech.
Trajan Greco.
And who I like a lot. You and I have not talked about that. I turned on the tape. I was like, okay.
Big time basketball kid.
Tulane early offer for him. And those things travel, you know, like you talk about a defense travels, right, late in the season. For a coach, regardless of what level it is, if you're proving that you can do that, outkick your coverage at a place like Tulane, to me, like, that fit at a place like Northwestern makes a lot of sense. But we're not here to talk about Northwestern. Drew, a couple other names on Oregon State. Montrell Hatton from Texas, that name came up. Kelsey Howard. Top 247 defensive lineman.
I was wondering about it. So what's the latest there? And I'll never forget, he was a CBS Sports HQ commitment, I think, on July 4th. I was watching that one from my pool. And I was like, what is this guy doing? He's like wearing sunglasses. It was quite the commitment. Not Charles Lester status, but it was right. Notable.
He had I was looking at his profile. He had sunglasses on his profile too, which makes me just even more convicted on the player. I think the feedback on him's been positive from what I read, and they expect him to be on the field this year. I would expect that too. He's a really good player. I really liked him. It was a heck of a gift for Oregon State. All right, Drew. Now we're in the middle of the pack. UCLA. I went quarterback again. This one seems pretty easy, right? I love Ethan Garbers. We had Garbers at Washington. Transferred, sat behind DTR. You can't overlook him. He's like, I love his competitiveness, his temperament, the way he plays the game. He's smart. I think Dante Moore is special. I have no idea how you keep him off the field. And it might not be until game three or game four, but I think once it's like the Spencer Rattler, Caleb Williams deal. Remember that? It's like once you see Caleb Williams on the field, it's like, okay, That's it. Seeing all we need to see. Right. So to me, that's Dante Moore.
I echo. I wrote down Dante Moore as well. I mean, they are. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some overlap, but I don't want to be, I don't want the graphic to go out and people be like, wait, how did you not pick Dante Moore? I mean, he was on Chris Hummer's preseason freshman All-American list. And how many quarterbacks are in this competition right now? It was like four guys, correct?
There's three, right? There's the transfer from Kent State.
Colin Shealy. Like, what was he thinking? He could be starting anywhere. Like, name a school he could be starting at them. And he goes to be behind Ethan Garbers and Dante Moore. UCLA opens up against Coastal Carolina. I think that is a sneaky game. But I agree with you. I mean, so much exposure to Dante Moore over the years, whether it be 7-on-7 tournaments, he's just different in terms of how he carries himself. Like, this'll sound, you know, some people will take it the wrong way, but he played for Cam Newton's 7-on-7 team at the OT7 championship. And I think that's because he wanted to kind of like learn a little bit from Cam and see his perspective. And then I'll never forget showing up to the All-American Bowl and just talking to him in between reps. Like, he's got it. And I agree, absolutely. Like, how does he not play here in 2023?
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Quick reminder, guys, you are listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple included. All right, Drew, halfway through the pack. 12, Wazoo, Washington State, now part of the Pac-4. I went Brandon Hills here out of Colorado, receiver, 10-6 in the 100 meter. They seem like they got a need. These receivers play early at Wazoo. There's one thing I learned being at Washington, I mean, you gotta keep tabs on these guys. So I will admit the depth of knowledge here in terms of Washington State in their 2023 class for me, super vague.
Same.
But in terms of what I read, Brandon Hills is a guy to keep an eye out for.
Well, you try to, you know, dig into what's going on at Washington State, and it's just all conference realignment talk, which I get. He was a guy I had initially circled, and then I went with Ansel Denbaugh, defensive lineman out of Texas. I'll admit, do not know much about this kid. Start reading. I'm like, all right, I'm on board. Added 30 pounds since he arrived this spring. One of the coaches there said he's got a six pack, even though he's tipping the scales at that. That's a bit of an eye opener for me. 158.6 in the discus. He's going to travel. He's going to be part of the rotation there in the middle. And he comes from a strong program there in the Lone Star State. Adello, who won a state title last year. Haas Henney's the quarterback there. So Ansel Denbaugh is my pick for the Cougs.
Is that Aledo?
Aledo.
Aledo, Texas?
Yeah, gotcha. Typo on my, that's what on I my thought. Notes here.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
I was like, Adello. Where's Adello?
Yeah, Aledo.
All right, Drew. I feel like Arizona is one of those because I know we know the same people around that program. There might be a little overlap. Maybe not. Arizona, I went with the safety, Genesis Smith, 6'2", 190 pounds. You turn on the tape, man. I really like this kid. I think he might grow into a weak side linebacker. Strong safety type. Can match up in coverage with bigger possession receivers and tight ends. This is a hell of a get for Arizona. I think they feel pretty good about him, and it's going to be a guy that's going to get some run early and then could potentially work his way into a starter role later in the season.
Yeah, I also had Genesis Smith here, number 53 safety. He was one of two names I got back when I asked around. The other was wide receiver Malachi Riley, who I guess they believe is going to be a dude. But there's a logjam at that receiver position. T-Mac obviously is there on campus. And then you got Jacob Coing, the big-time transfer out of UTEP, who put up some numbers in 2022. Genesis Smith to me, and we've talked a lot about Arizona on this podcast, what Jed Fish is doing. I think he represents kind of like what the Wildcats are going to find success doing. They were his first Power 5 offer. Arizona was for Genesis Smith, and it sounds like a wide open competition at safety. And by the end of the year, they expect him to be, you know, on the field with the starters. So if they can recruit locally and get in early with those guys, I mean, not a lot of schools are mining Arizona. So if you can keep the homegrown talent home and then beat the big dogs for your Elijah Rushing, your Demond Williams, like, I think they're set up for a ton of success in that new look Big 12. I know we're talking Pac 12 here, but that was kind of my takeaway when I dug into the profile on Genesis.
I'm excited about Arizona transitioning to the Big 12. I think it's almost like it's a new opportunity for them to rebrand that Arizona program. And I think Jed Fish is the perfect guy to do it. I don't think I would have been saying that 2 years ago. I mean, I was highly, highly skeptical of that hire, and he has completely done all the right things and pushed all the right buttons. So credit to him. Drew, California, another one, same boat as Wazoo. Just, I mean, I was struggling to get anything here. So I kind of used some basic logic and said, all right, what positions lend to getting on the field early for freshmen? I went with Nyziah Hunter. I kind of dug into him a little bit, the receiver out of California, 11-1 in the 100-meter, two-way snaps, had some ability in the return game. I kind of like what Cal's got in the receiver room. I mean, you look at it, you got Jeremiah Hunter, who I really like coming out. His teammates with – I might be wrong there. I thought he was teammates with Xavier Worthy. I could be wrong. And then you got Taj Davis, who we recruited at Washington, signed with Washington. And then we talked about that receiver room up there in Seattle. So he's a transfer in. And then a couple other guys too. But this was almost kind of like, all right, what makes the most sense here? Popped on the tape, really liked it. So calculated decision, but that's where I landed.
All right, can I plant my flag here? I'm worried about Cal. I'm worried about Cal, man. Just reading, going through different things. I'm pretty concerned about Cal. 52 newcomers for preseason camp. 52. Now, a lot of them are transfers, junior college guys. There's not a lot of freshmen. They still haven't picked a starting quarterback. And I think it's a bit of a mess. Like, Sam Jackson, the TCU transfer, is there. Ben Finley, who came from NC State. And then you got Francisco Mendoza, who is from my neck of the woods, went to Miami Columbus High School. They flipped him from Yale. So the quarterback seems like, whoa, what's going on here? And then you start going down the roster, and it just feels like a catch-all for all these former big-time recruits that are in the portal. Brian Hightower, who started off his career at Miami, was at Illinois. When I saw he was at Cal, I had to do a double take. David Reese, edge rusher, who was at Florida, I was like, he's at Cal. Raymond Woody, his son, is going to like start in the secondary. It's kind of like, whoa, there's like a lot of different pieces with a lot, you know, not really with ties to California. With that being said, last year, they had one of the best true freshmen in all of college football, Jaden Ott. So they'll play the young guys if they're ready. I went with Javion Thomas, running back, finished number 56 in the running back rankings for us, ran for 2,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, local kid. And Cal's got a bunch of running backs, but I guess this guy, according to Jackson Moore, from 24/7 Sports, who does an excellent job covering Cal, Stanford, all those schools, he's looked the part in a few scrimmages. So, you know, maybe he gets into the rotation, but this was one of the hardest ones on the list. And dude, Cal's first two games, at North Texas, and then Auburn comes to town week two. Like, whoa.
What a culture shock experience for any Auburn fan that's going to travel to Berkeley. It's going to be wild.
My buddy is like diehard Auburn fan. And I'm like, are you going? And he's like, I want to, but he's like, I don't know what the vibe's going to be like. I'm like, yeah, that's probably a good point.
The vibes couldn't be more polar opposite than where your buddy is currently standing than if he went to a Cal game. I think I told this story before. We played at Cal, and it was kind of a big game for us, and we lost. And we get off the bus, and there's a tailgate set up, and they're just playing chess. I'm like, what is this? Just like, I'm like, you know, you want to feel the gravity, like. I was like, all right, man, this is different. Pac-12 football, baby. All right, Drew, Arizona State. Layup.
Jaden is it, shot. Though?
For me, it was. I mean, you know, I think it was like a week or two ago that, you know, our Arizona State site kind of started dropping breadcrumbs that, like, all right, Jaden Rashad is – in position here, right? And it seems like they were just kind of pushing that narrative a little bit more and more. And then yesterday we finally got the news that Jaden Rashad is going to be the starter for against Southern Utah. Is that right?
Yeah, next Thursday night.
Let's go, baby. And here's the thing about Rashada, right? He's what? He's already 19 years old?
Correct.
He had the highest INT ratio last year.
Correct.
Of all the top 247 quarterbacks. I love this for Arizona State, and I love this for Jaden Rashada. Get on the field, get the reps. Nobody expects anything from you this year. Rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Like, do you think this is Jaden Rashada is who I put down as well? Because it's clear he's going to play. But do you think he's ready, or are they forcing him a little bit here?
He might not be ready, you know, but I also think it works to their advantage to try to get him on the field and get him as much experience as possible. I think Kenny Dillingham is building for the future there. And, you know, this is the way that it's interesting when, if you were to ask Kenny Dillingham this question versus if you were to ask maybe somebody who is helping put that roster together from a personnel perspective, to me, it's like, listen, if I'm not in love with Drew Pine, I don't think we can contend. I know what Drew Pine is, right? And there is an element of, like, you got to balance it, right? You want your team to feel like you are putting your best foot forward, trying to win games week in and week out. There's no question with the physical talent when it comes to Jaden Rashada. To me, it's about gaining that experience, getting these reps, being smarter with the football. The only way that he's going to be able to do that is by playing. So I'm a big advocate for what they're doing here. And, you know, Kenny Dillingham is the job that he did with Bo Nix last year. Like, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, and say, hey, this is a guy. Let's roll it out there. Let's take our lumps year one, but we're going to be better for it. And I think that's what they got to do. They got to eat the frog, take it on the chin, and then just kind of ride this roller coaster for year one. And who knows? Maybe it works out better than they would have expected.
The only reason I asked, like, is he ready? Because I think in the most recent scrimmage, he was like 8 of 20. Like, that doesn't seem to be the number you're looking for. But I get it. And they play Oklahoma State week two as well. And Drew Pine, I think you need to also note, dealing with a hamstring injury, I think that made the decision to go with Jaden Rashada that much easier.
Did you go Rashada?
Yeah, I went Jaden Rashada.
There you go. All right, Drew, two more. Colorado and Stanford. Let's start with Colorado. I think I got a hunch what you're going to do here. Maybe not. Which way did you go?
I went with Dylan Edwards. But you can go in 100 different directions here. So where did you go?
For graphic purposes, I'm going to make a change, and I'm going to say I went with Cormani McClain, but I went with Dylan Edwards. But let's just say Cormani McClain is one or the other for me. I think Cormani's going to play early, especially with Travis Hunter predominantly playing on the offensive side of the football. You know, in the case of Dylan Edwards, I mean, you're talking like, not that the accolades really are something that I'm reading into, but contextually, Gatorade Player of the Year in Kansas, talk about a guy, verified athleticism, even for being an undersized back. I just love everything he does. I think you can obviously play him out of the backfield. I like his ability as a receiver. I think he's super dynamic, super efficient with the football. I thought he was the best returner, hands down, last cycle. And to me, that's where you're going to make your impact as a freshman. I think this is a guy they got to manufacture touches for. I would want him touching the ball 5 times a game if I was Sean Lewis. Just find a way to get him the ball and get him in space.
And I think that's going to happen, right? Prime said he's a dog. He wants all the smoke, electrifying playmaker. We plan on having him return kicks, getting him the ball as much as possible. He's listed at 5'9 on Colorado's site. Only number I could find for us that we had in a database was 5'8. Calling it now. He's going to remind people of Deuce Vaughn, who is making a ton of noise with the Dallas Cowboys in preseason, and he's listed at 5'5. I think there's just no way Dylan Edwards doesn't get onto the field. I think you're going to see it week one against Nebraska, right? That's who they play. I think I even read somewhere that Dylan Edwards, who's from Kansas, his entire family is going to be at the game. I mean, if you're sending your family there, you must be expecting to get the ball. I totally forgot Dylan Edwards and Nicholas Harbor raced at the Under Armour All-America game, and Edwards just barely edged Harbor. And according to the UA guys, Edwards was 4.41, Harbor was 4.42. So he's an easy pick for me. Cormani McClain's interesting. I think just having had so much exposure to him, he's got all the physical tools, everything you want in a new age cornerback. I just wonder, you know, how he's going to respond to adversity in games. And I'd be saying that if he went to any other school in the country, you know, he's going to get beat. That's going to happen. I mean, no corner these days is shutting down someone for the entire game. I mean, you don't believe me, search Jalen Ramsey getting beat on YouTube. You're going to find, you know, one of the best corners in the game getting bombed play after play. You know, how does Cormani respond as a young freshman there? So that's a good one. And then I also wanted to highlight Taj McCoy, just doing some reading, edge rusher out of Oklahoma. Charles Kelly, the DC there, thinks that he's going to play. He plays fast. He plays hard. That's what Kelly said. I don't know. I would think all of Colorado's freshmen are going to play, right? Like,
I would think so. I think we're on it. I like what you said about Cormani McClain, because I think that's true. But I also think that he's in the right environment to succeed. And what I mean by that is, like, I love the fact that he gets to play for Deion Sanders, like a guy that has experienced it at the highest level, the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows. And you talk about a guy that can inspire confidence in a young man like Cormani McClain. I think Cormani is going to have to play early. I don't think Colorado has a choice. And there is no question when it comes to Cormani McClain's physical toolkit. But, Drew, I agree. Like, I want to see the killer in Cormani McClain, really what it comes down to. And there's no better person to bring that out of him, if it's in him, than Deion Sanders. But two good options. I mean, you're a Colorado fan. I think Dylan Edwards, dynamic dude. Cormani McClain is going to have to play early. Drew Stanford, Patag, last one.
Producer Lance texted me. They host TCU. No, they travel to TCU week one. Nebraska comes to town week two. Dylan Edwards' family is going to be at the TCU game. Got my games mixed up.
We want to be a disciplined podcast. We were talking about this yesterday, maybe. But tag flags is what we'll call them. And we'll try not to be a penalized pod. So we got to clean it up, is what it is. I think we had a couple of tag flags yesterday, maybe three.
Yeah.
Today, only one.
Only one.
One or two. We'll see. Drew, Stanford. I went corner here. I went with Jayshon Frosto Ramos. That might be another Patak flag. I'm going to have to go back and check the pronunciation there. But from St. John Bosco, listed as a corner.
Third Bosco kid on the list.
There you go. Stanford had some departures there at that position. You turn on the tape, I'm like, man, this guy's like a strong safety type nickel, plays close to the line of scrimmage. I was like, where the hell was this kid last cycle? I really like this cat, man. You talk about a really good football player, high floor all over the place. I think he's going to contribute on special teams. It's kind of what you see from a play temperament standpoint. I don't see corner immediately. I think I kind of see more safety long term, but they expect him to get on the field early. He's one of the highest rated commits outside of Tiger Bachmeier. But like this kid a lot.
Well, I picked Tiger Bachmeier, who is running with the ones. Another guy that was on Chris Hummer's preseason freshman All-American list, brother of Hank Bachmeier, who is at Louisiana Tech, as you noted. And then he's got a third brother, Bear Bachmeier, who is a quarterback in the 2025 cycle. Just seems like easy, kind of throw me the alley-oop, I'll finish it. You know, he's going to play. Like you said, highest ranked prospect for them. It was interesting just looking at Stanford and kind of their two deep as well. You know, who's going to start at quarterback there? Ashton Daniels is in the mix, former kid from Buford. EJ Smith at running back. I don't know. I was surprised Stanford was picked last in the final year of the Pac-12.
I think they can do some things. I think Troy Taylor is a really good coach coming over from Sacramento State. This might be a year where they can maybe sneak up on some people. So we'll see what happens with them.
Are we buying stock in the tree?
I am, long term. Maybe not year one. You know,
what if I told you their win total over under is 2.5?
I would have to look at the schedule, but I feel pretty confident that I bet the – is that the win total?
Yeah.
Then let me Google the nearest casino around here that I can bet on. I'm smashing that, dude.
Next Friday, or maybe it's Thursday night. You know, it's always weird when schools play at Hawaii. They're at Hawaii.
We can find three dubs on the schedule. Let's go through the schedule real quick.
Okay. At Hawaii, is that a win?
Dub.
At USC.
Loss.
Sacramento State, home.
Dub.
Arizona, home.
Toss up, but I'll take Arizona.
Oregon at home.
Oregon.
At Colorado on a Friday night, Friday the 13th.
Toss up.
UCLA at home.
I don't feel like they're like a double digit underdog in any of these games, you know?
Washington at home, at Washington State, at Oregon State, Cal, Notre Dame. I think there are enough toss-ups on there.
I think you're looking at four to five wins there. I think their ceiling's probably 5-7.
Well, you heard it.
Let's go, baby.
Tossing out gambling advice, right?
Drew, is there one name on this list that you're like, all right, I'm like doing more research that you're like, all right, I'm even more excited about this guy I am today than I was maybe a week, two, a couple months ago?
I think like Dylan Edwards, you know, I think all eyes, I anticipate Colorado is going to be shoved down everyone's throat this season. And a guy that was in the top 247, you know, just excited to see him. I think what is unique, and we've done this after each one of these, is three quarterbacks were selected: Dante Moore, Jaden Rashada, Aiden Childs, right? Well, there's, I think in the SEC we had no quarterbacks, and in the ACC we had one quarterback.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. And, you know, you look at it, it's like Rashada, circumstantial to an extent, right? Dante Moore, we don't know, but we feel pretty good about it, is going to play his fair share during the season. And then Aiden Childs is kind of the wild card. But I love his ability. I think, like I said, I think he's going to be hard to keep off the field. True for me, Spencer Fano. You go back, you look at Spencer Fano. There was kind of a discrepancy in terms of the rankings. And he was a really, I don't want to say difficult evaluation, but there was a lot of conversation that surrounded Spencer Fano throughout the year. And I got to give a lot of credit to like Blair Angulo and Biggie and Huff, who had seen him in person and were like, you don't really appreciate the type of player he is until you see him live. And I think you and I felt that way. I don't want to speak for you, but after seeing him in San Antonio, you see him go elite on elite, more than held his ground. I thought he was one of the better offensive linemen, finished top 50 for us. It makes you, I don't know how you feel, but it makes you feel, even regardless of these guys stepping on the field yet, it makes you feel like, okay, we're heading in the right direction here with a guy like that. If he's going to be able to crack the lineup for Utah early with a really experienced offensive line.
I just remember him playing cornhole at the All-American Bowl in the lobby. I'm like, whoa, that's Spencer Fano. And you were talking about like the balance and the coordination. Like he's how you want him to look in terms of like, this guy's coordinated. And I know he's
broad
playing
chest.
He's like playing cornhole, but like that was like my immediate takeaway. I'm like, okay, like I will invest in this athlete.
Drew, you always got the background on these guys, dude. Crazy stories. Who's our guy just piping the ball 280, maybe even 300 yards plus?
I was trying to think of that. It was an offensive lineman, right?
Yeah, it was a Notre Dame kid.
Devin Brown, when he was at the All-American Bowl, he was ripping drives in the simulator.
Love that. Big golf guys over here. By the way, FedEx Championship this weekend. Drew, who we got?
I have no idea. No idea.
All right. I'll say for both of us, I'm going to go with our guy, Victor Hovland. What a surprise pick there by me. But I love that dude. He is dialed right now. One last week. BMW Championship. Boys are playing a little bit conservative. Drew, any final thoughts? You ready to get out of here?
Ready to get out of here, man.
All right. Another day, another dollar. Scare money, don't make no money. Guys, you're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. We appreciate you joining us. As always, make sure to subscribe to the show. Spotify, Apple is where you can find it, and wherever else you find your podcast. For Director of Scouting, Andrew Ivins, for producer Lance Glenn, I'm Cooper Patagna. See you tomorrow.